The question was asked, why is eating insects called an abomination? Toivahi. So there's a long answer to this question, which discusses the connection between God and the definition of good and evil. That's a long philosophical class we have to have once. A discussion of God who created the world can define for us within this world what's good and what's bad, which really evolves into a broader discussion about the human conscience and what weight to give it, and what capacity we're given to measure what's good and bad, which is really a broad subject, which we will not explore right now, but I'm just pointing out that that's something that has to be discussed because it's really the basis for the question and answer. But let's discuss something else. The Torah tells us about certain things that they're an abomination. So the Talmud asks, what happens if someone says, I really want to eat a spider? And then he's going to go and eat a spider. And then he says, a cockroach. Let's try making cockroach. Let's eat cockroaches, you know. Maybe it tastes like chips. Go figure. So the Talmud says there are two stages. Ordinarily, our assumption is that he's doing this out of spite. That the average person doesn't have a desire to eat cockroaches and spiders. But, says the Talmud, it can be that every so often a person will feel like, I want to just have a taste. The Talmud says there is such a concept that a person will say, I wonder what it tastes like to eat a cockroach. I think most people don't have that desire, but the Talmud discerns. The Talmud says there's a stage where it's obvious he's doing this out of spite. There's no desire for it. But the Talmud then says, but even so, it can be that every so often a person will say, I just want to have that taste again, or I'm just curious again. And the Talmud says that about different things. Now that gives us an insight. It seems to teach us that there are things which a person might try because, hey, who knows, maybe, hey, you know, people are willing to try all kinds of things. Let me ask you, if your son came home one day and said, I have an unusual friend. And you'd say, son, we all have to be liberal and accepting, and just because what he does is different than what we do, doesn't mean you should mock him and scorn him. And your son says, fine, Dad, that's great. And then you sit down for the meal, and your wife serves rice. So you each get a bowl of rice, and this friend of your son, he puts the bowl of rice on the floor. So you're wondering, is he Chinese? Do they sit on the floor when they eat? But you want to be very respectful of the boy. And then he unzips his zipper and urinates into the rice. And then he says, yum. And then he puts the bowl on the table and now he's going to eat that. Would you still tell your son, gee, son, you got to be respectful. You know, different people, different norms. There are certain things which, you know. What would you say, Benny? I'm just asking.
It's something that is really happening in South Africa, in some tribes. They put the saliva.
Saliva is different, I understand.
Still is.
What would you say? I understand.
Nobody can eat food without saliva.
You don't understand.
Benny, what would you tell your son at that point?
Son, your friend's pretty weird.
So my point is that there are things which you don't need science to teach you, that the average person finds them abominable. And so I think when the Torah tells us that eating insects is an abomination, I don't think the Torah is revealing to us something which isn't instinctive. Even people who play with insects are not interested in eating them. And very often by the Torah defining certain things, the Torah is helping us maintain a norm. And this applies to other things, because we can try things. like the Talmud says, you can try it because you feel like, hey, I wonder what it's like. And then people can get carried away. And so when the Torah comes and says, no, that's an abomination, the Torah is hitting a reset button and saying, this is what's right and natural for you to find it that way. And if you think about the application, you'll see that the application is far-reaching. I don't think you would train your son and say to him, you have to be accepting of everyone, and if this is what your friend does, don't make faces at the dinner table. I don't think you'd say that. I think you'd say, this is not normal, and I don't want you to be accustomed to this, and your friend has problems, and if his parents haven't figured it out yet, then someone better get him to treatment. I think that's what you'd say. Maybe you wouldn't tell your son that, but that's what you'd be thinking. So there is a level of normality which has to be maintained. Society in our generation keeps pushing that level of normality. In the name of many things, society keeps pushing. And specifically in our day and age, it's more understandable why the Torah had to define for us what's abominable. Because in our strive to be accepting, we're already accepting of things that should be abominable to our minds. And that's, I think that's a simple understanding of the pasuk. Again, there's a much deeper understanding that has to be discussed as far as the philosophical ramifications. But on a basic level, I think that's an important approach.